Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You have tuned in to the Power of Prayer with Prophetess Patricia Williams. We will be discussing the principles of prayer and how your prayer can invade heaven. Now sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your spirit.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Power of Prayer Talk Show, where I am your hostess for the next 30 minutes, Prophetess Patricia Williams. I bid you welcome, and I'm so thankful and grateful that you have chose to join us on today, that you have took out of your busy schedule just to listen to what is happening in today, not only on our daily journey, but every day of our lives. Excuse me, but I have a little cold, but I'm going to continue to do what thus said the Lord. And also, we have been discussing integrity, how that we shouldn't allow our integrity to be taken down or our character to be taken down just because we want to compromise with the people and just because we are afraid to do what thus said the Lord. We will compromise that which what God has told us to do just to keep peace among the body of Christ, and also that you won't get yourself in trouble or you scared that somebody may get mad at you. And doing our two-day session, because we had continued this topic for 2 weeks, we've been talking about integrity, that pastors and leaders should not lose their integrity or don't give it up no matter what comes their way and no matter what other people say. Keep your integrity, because your integrity says a lot about you. Your character says a lot about you. And no, you're not pleasing man, but you are displaying a character unto God. You are pleasing God when you keep a godly character, and when you hold on to your godly integrity, because we don't want to be caught in predicaments where the enemy can take advantage of what we're doing, or where the enemy can have our name out there because our character is shady, or then our integrity has been taken down. And yes, we had some very intense revelation that came through the man of God, and that also came through the woman of God, on how God has dealt with them regarding integrity. And we just want to encourage you all to hold on to your spiritual integrity and your godly character, because we want to be a pleasing to God and not man. And so on today, we're going to be talking about spiritual corruption, and it also is an attachment to your integrity, because once you vow to do something out the will of God, that's where spiritual corruption manifests, really. So it all comes into one a play, and this is very needful in the body of Christ to know what is lying adornment. I would like to welcome Apostle Leje on today. How are you doing, man of God?
I'm blessed, woman of God. How are you?
I'm doing well, trying to get over this cold, but God, because I'm already healed.
Yes, amen. Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I was sharing with the people about how spiritual corruption can also tie into ungodly integrity and ungodly character, because once you yield to the needs of the people in such a manner that God has not told you, that's when spiritual corruption will manifest. And those are one of the foxes that we have to watch out in the body of Christ. So, man of God, would you like to expound?
Yes, woman of God. Many times when we get into spiritual corruption, we get there the majority of the time trying to be a people pleaser and not a God chaser. I find that, you know, especially preachers and leadership, pastors, not so much ministers as much, although it does happen, but pastors are they're at the barrel of a gun, per se. They have mortgage due on the church. They have a specific amount of people who pay a great amount of tithes. They have people that get easily offended and they deliver. So they begin to get to this place where they let a lot of things slide for the sake of the building, for the sake of their salary, or for the sake of not getting nobody mad. Problem with that is that you have to be very mindful what you allow, because it's the little bitty foxes that spoil the vine. It might not be big to you, but it might be big to God. That's why it's best to it's best to spare the rod, because if you don't spare the rod, if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child.
Exactly.
And you end up causing judgment on yourself. But corruption comes along when we use our own discerning to get in God's will, so that we don't make anybody mad. When the Bible say, "Don't be afraid of their faces," anyway. But we choose on ourselves instead of trusting God. We make that decision on ourselves to take the convenient way and the comfortable way, which is not the way that we should go. I remember, woman of God, last year when I was wrapping up college, my professor told me, he told me very well. He said, "Keelan, don't do like everybody else. Don't take the elevator, take the stairs." What he was saying was, go God's way, and it'll never lead you wrong, but don't go how everybody else goes, because that leads to your own destruction sometimes. So that's, woman of God, how a lot of people end up in spiritual corruption and leadership.
Wow, that is so true. Because there is a connection between in integrity and your character, because once you give in, and then you said something very powerful, you are pleasing people. And many leaders in this hour think it's okay to please only certain ones, and it's mainly the ones who are the biggest tie up here, or the one who is very undependable. But yet you have to watch that too, man of God, because it can turn into something that you don't want. So in other words, is it wise, which I know it is wise, that sometimes you have to treat everyone the same, no matter how much they give or how less they give? Would you say that?
Absolutely, woman of God, because if that's the case, we have to understand that how people pay tithes and what they do and what they contribute, this is not, when they go to church or they deal with ministry matters, this is not a politician's ball. Everybody who pays $2,500 can sit at the table and eat the steak, and everybody else who pay $1,500 got to sit in the back and eat the chicken. This is not necessarily how it works. We have to accommodate everybody regardless of the situation. It's the same way, woman of God, when somebody passes away and they walk in to see me with $10,000 versus another family who walk in to see me with $5,000. You have to keep them both the same, because you have to maintain your level of integrity. Reason why It's because if you do not maintain your level of integrity, people will notice how you become wishy-washy and you change unless people got stuff that fold versus the stuff that jingle. So you have to be very mindful about that. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. Preachers are falling in this error so discreetly because they think we had an auction, the highest the best treatment. So you got to be very mindful of that. And the judgment come in is because you're not falling in love with your assignment in God. You're falling in love with the money. And the Bible says it's the love of money that is the root of all evil.
That's it. That's it. And it's sad to say, man of God, is that that's what is per se ruling the body of Christ, because I always feel like that if that a leader can only trust God and not the tithes or the seeds that is being sown in the ministry, is kind of hard to say. But if that you truly, truly put your trust in God and just hear what God is saying in this hour, you know that, you know, you can make it. You won't have to fall in no corrupt thing by a man or by anyone just to make it in this hour or to have the finances you need to fund your ministry or to pay the bills. And, man of God, I know you have seen this so many times and you have also may have experienced how they say all money is not good money, because not only does money can evolve with spiritual corruption, it could be many things, but money is like the main thing. And how when a person tries to buy you, and once that you don't do what they say, the first thing they do, go out and scandalize your name or go out and say false things about you. And the very thing that I always see nowadays is how people is leaving other ministries and they come into somebody else's ministry because of the fact they cannot adhere to what the leader says, or they're not doing it according to they will. Do you talk to people like that? Do you tell them what thus said the Lord? Do you show them that it's not all about what you do or what you or then what you say, but it's about your obedience to God?
Absolutely, woman of God, because you never want to get, it's all about your obedience to God, because you never want to get inside of a catch 22. And what I mean when I say that is, you never want to arrive at a place where you stuck in between doing what's good and right. And if you do what's good, might not necessarily be right, and whatever you do that's right might not necessarily be good. So you got to be very mindful to stay line on line and precept on precept when it comes down to that, because if not, you're going to end up making a decision that might not necessarily be a God decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is so true, because you find yourself reasoning with things. There is always a reason behind everything. And I feel like this, man of God, sometimes we get too nosy in the spirit realm. And if God will tell us not to do something, and we know that this is good for the ministry or something, but then God shall intervene in it and say, not now. But we always have the reasoning behind it. Okay, God, why not? Or what's going to happen here? Or what's going to happen? He is the type of God that he will, you know, will not reveal it to us right then. But he has saved us, because I know many a times when you did not accept anything and then you found out later on down the road what that would have done to your character or what would have done to your integrity, because you had bought into that person or into that seed. And many times I've seen it also, man of God, that seed, a godly seed, whether it's finances or someone that has attained in unto the ministry, will set up spiritual corruption in your ministry as well. Could you expound to the people how Satan will bring up set up into your ministry to fail?
Woman of God, I tell you like this. For 60 years, I have been experiencing some very new stuff inside of ministry. So from experience, what I will say, the enemy is setting up some unusual things, and he's setting it up sometimes in your, and I hate to say this, but he's setting it up, to be perfectly honest with you now, since he can't get you, he can't entice you with the money, since he can't entice you with the women, compromise. Now he's trying to entice you with your covering or in your leadership. Oh God. I'm having a situation happen now where I actually am the interim pastor over a cultic church. But I'm being told that don't preach too many pastoral messages. Because if you preach too many pastoral messages, then you're not going to make the people happy. And if they're not happy, unhappy people are going to equal an unhappy place. And your obligation is not only to make sure church is taken care of no matter what, but your obligation also is to make sure that in the association that you're about to become a part of, that you get to pay all the dues that you have to pay to us and the Church of God in Christ. So, so you kind of at a place now, you know, I understand spiritual corruption, you know, so as, and he's not in my head because I'm a firm believer that you have to accept somebody to be your covering. You can't just go and say that you somebody covering. It's an offer, it's an acceptance procedure. And like I began to say, you know, when I was talking to the Lord, I said, so God, if you give me something to preach, I have to check and make sure if it's okay with the bishop.
My God.
So you're telling me turn another way instead of turn the right way, because it might not necessarily make the church go smooth, and it might make people upset and they might leave. Woman of God, that's the perfect example of spiritual corruption. What it's saying is don't listen. What he's saying is don't listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to him, because in him gonna become the money, the power, and the respect. But the devil is a liar.
I know that's right. Wow.
You don't know who you're dealing with in that department.
And that's where your fight becomes, because, man of God, you are very new at this position as a pastor, and you can help other men and women of God that has stepped out into that calling and it has accepted the call of a pastor. You have experienced many things, and especially that. So, because you have already expounded on how the bishop wants you to preach what he tells you to preach, that can be a major compromise with some, because they don't want to leave their position as a pastor, but you stood firm knowing who your God is, and you chose to obey God and not him. Now, if there was anyone else that did not understand you and your relationship with God, they could have easily fell into that and say, okay, he's the bishop. I got to obey what he say. And then in order for me to keep my position, I'm going to do what he say. That is another form of spiritual corruption. And Apostle Lejean, you can help so many, because they are coming into this. And there has spiritual corruption in the body of Christ. There is their character and their integrity will be attested. And so that's why I just highly, you know, admonish you, because you are going through this process right now. and so that the other upcoming pastors, they will not easily fall into it. Now, man of God, when spiritual corruption arises, is it true or not that sin lies at the doormat, at dormant?
Absolutely, woman of God. It's the ultimate
mm-hmm.
plan. And the reason why
yes.
it's the ultimate plan is because
mm-hmm.
anything that takes you out of the will of God gets to take you to the will of the enemy. And that's what a lot
yes.
of people fail to realize. Case in point, it might seem healthy to go and gamble if nobody's looking. But the
yes.
unhealthy part of what a sin come in at is that Ecclesiastes, people always say, it don't say nowhere in the Bible you can't gamble. It sure don't. But it does say
yep.
about you taking a chance in Ecclesiastes. So you want to misappropriate your funds that God allowed you to obtain the first time. Then when you go give it to the enemy and you misappropriate them, then you want to come to God and say, give me some more. No, it don't work like that. Sin is
mm-hmm.
always the ultimate goal when you're doing wrong in spiritual corruption. It's led to throw you off a track, it's led to backslide you, it's led to take you back. And if we look at the Bible really well, especially when it talks about backsliding, when you backslide,
mm-hmm.
it's harder to come back because you fall seven times worse. And that's what a lot of people fail to realize. Sin is always the first cousin to corruption. That's the ultimate goal every time, because anything that's in error has to do with something demonic.
Wow, that is so true. And, man of God, I've seen it all so well, that the corruption from the worldly standpoint, where people may buy officials or may buy votes or anything else, that it's happening in the body of Christ. I mean, corruption is a part of the body of Christ, which it shouldn't be. But just like you say, it is sin that is lying right there at the dormant. And, man of God, I can't understand why some people in the body of Christ cannot rebuke that spirit. Could you help them out some to tell them why they cannot rebuke it?
Oh, my God, first of all, the reason why they can't rebuke it is because they're too familiar with all those faces that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
People are so hard, they so scared to offend somebody, or if nobody going to like them, or they're scared that they're going to be too different for the crowd, or, you know, the whole nine yards. And I understand, because I used to be there. I said, what if even my family in the past, what if I tell them what they're doing here is not right? And then they get mad at me and they won't invite me to nothing no more. But the problem with that is I was doing them more harm but not telling them nothing by being in their presence, by me telling them what they needed to hear regardless of the fact. So if
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't open my mouth, I was doing them more harm. They just never
mm-hmm.
realized it. Woman God, it's the same way, for example, you hear a lot of people who just living together. Oh, that's my hubby, and that's my sister-in-law, and that's my brother-in-law. You're saying all them words very loosely, but you not hear them acronyms at the end of it, in-law?
Okay.
By you not telling them that they wrong, you're causing them more error, because some of them maybe heard that it's okay because, you know, it's okay to live together because their mom or their daddy told them, or somebody before told them, why buy the cow? Why
mm-hmm.
buy the cow? You get the milk for free. And then other people, they maybe heard that people before them say, don't you shack. You know, don't live together. That's not
mm-hmm.
of God. Irregardless, by you not telling them, you're not doing them a justice. Maybe they need a refresher. Maybe they need to hear it again, or maybe need to hear it the first time. So that's why it's so important for you to open your mouth. When God gives you the utterance, you have to let it out, because eventually pressure going to bust the pipe.
It sure is. And when God gives you something to say, man, God, I know you can contest this. You will actually become restless. He will not allow you to rest unless you deliver that word. I mean, whether or not they receive it or not, you got to deliver that word. That way you will be in obedience unto God. Man of God, there are so many things that we as leaders and people of God that we just want to do all we can to please God. What advice can you give upcoming people that has just been converted and they don't know nothing about none of this yet? Because I know, like me and then like you, when you first gave your life over to Christ, we didn't know anything. You know, we was learning day by day. And it's some of these people that is coming in here, and they've been used. They are literally being used because people not even caring about their souls. They are caring about what they can give them. And once they're hurt, because I always see it too, spiritual corruption can also evolve from a church hurt. Because people think as the church is the hospital, you are protected from the world when you are at church, and they are not expected for the people to hurt you in a church. So have you dealt with people that have been church hurt through this spirit here?
Absolutely, woman of God. I've had situations, especially women, mm-hmm. for some strange reason. And it's not, you know, it's not to pick on the ladies, but I've had situations where women, you know, they were following the wrong leader. And these leaders were leading them into sexual problems with them, or leading with them into adultery and the whole nine yards. And, well, you know, it's not of God if we just sample a little bit and we do this and do that. Problem with them is they know they was baby Christians. They knew that those people weren't where they needed to be in God. That's why it's so important, woman of God, especially when we first become saved, that we read that Bible and we eat that Bible like it's a good Sunday meal. Reason why is because if it don't line up with God's word, nine times out of ten, it's not of God. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They look at the preacher, they look at the woman of God, the man of God, they look at them for all, they want them to do all the thinking, they want them to do all the providing, they want you to do all the praying, but they just want to sit down there, and then what ends up happening is they ain't got on no bulletproof vest when the enemy used the leader, when the enemy used one of the ministers in church, they don't have no protection. But it all boils down to when you first become saved, don't get relaxed. Because that's how you fall into spiritual corruption. Same way when you first get saved and you have that extreme zeal, you need to stay zealing and you need to stay zealous. The reason why is because that's what's going to keep you on your toes against the enemy when he uses people in the world or when he uses people in the church. Because truth be told, the reason why some people get hurt in church is because they get too relaxed.
Exactly. And that's when, and you said women, that you dealt with a lot of women. Women are so vulnerable, and they are so easily to get hurt. And once they are hurt, it's hard for them to get that heart turned back to the person, you know, to God, because they have been hurt so much. And I am very surprised that some women will go to a man for the, talk to them, because mainly that's who had hurt them. But then they had felt very comfortable with you. And then even new converts, man of God, they have to be covered by the older women and the older men in the church, especially the men too, if they are new converts in Christ and they life over Christ. Because I know I had someone watching over my soul and watching when people was trying to, you know, get at me or something like that. And that's what we need, is someone to protect the new converts in this season, because if not, you will lose them. You will lose them back to the world, and spiritual corruption will evolve again. And then once they're gone, that's it. They're gone. Well, man of God, do you have any last word?
Woman of God, if you are a, I'm going to say it just like this, if you are a victim of spiritual corruption, you better uproot yourself very fast or get under somebody who can help you uproot, because it's going to lead you to ultimately to sin, and sin is what's going to ultimately separate you from God. So just be very mindful as you walk this life trying to please God.
All right. Well, our time has been well spent. I really enjoyed this topic. And thank you, man of God, for tuning in today. And not only today, but every Monday. I thank God for you. And I thank God for everyone that is listening. And we will tune back in next Monday at 5:30. Everyone have a blessed week. And God bless everyone. Bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on The Power of Prayer. I pray that your souls was blessed on today. But most of all, I pray that you have received revelation regarding your prayer. If you are blessed by this ministry, please drop us a line at faithisthekey_prayer@yahoo.com. You can also mail your prayer request to P.O. Box 6723, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Don't forget to tune in every Monday at 5:30 p.m. You can also check out the website at www.patriciajwilliams.web.com. Remember, prayer is the key. Faith unlocks the door. Until next time, be blessed.